Names are important. We all have one. We might have more than one. But they help us to have our individuality, our identity, our security to some extent. Do you know what your name means? Some names are given specifically for a purpose. Some are not. Some are very spiritual in meaning and are given because of that, and some are not. But names are important. Take Mike Root, for example. Mike, Michael, spiritual name. Who is like God? Boy, that's something to live up to, isn't it, Mike? And then there's my name, Deep, Wagon Maker. Don't laugh, I might be picking on you next. My dear wife, Deborah, Old Testament name, Bumblebee. Carrie Sholley. Some names have more than one possibility. First meaning for that is, I've read, Irish, dark-skinned. The other meaning is dark hair. I haven't seen a picture of Carrie at birth, but Pat, Patrick, Patsy. Oh, Pat, you're on today. You're a noble woman. Charles Bartholomew, a mighty warrior. We have four Helens in our church family. A couple are online here, it looks like. Your name has two possibilities. Now, of course, every website might be different, but these are the ones I found. Helen means torch or the moon. Your name is important. The name that God gave to His Son. It's incredibly important. The name that God the Father chose from eternity past, way back, before He sent Jesus to the world, is very, very important. I want you to think this morning a couple of minutes about how important the name of Jesus is. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. Jesus means God is salvation. God is salvation. Wow. His name is to be highly honored. The name of Jesus is to be highly cherished, respected. I know that you believe that today, but even as a reminder, how important we treat the name of Jesus in our everyday lives. Even when we sing the name Jesus, to be reminded of how high it is and precious the name of Jesus is. His name is to be treated as holy, as in highly exalted. The third commandment says, thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain. Wherever you use it, wherever you express it, whether it's in everyday conversation for some reason, or you're talking about faith, you're talking about God, or you're singing somewhere in the shower or at church, remember how precious the name of Jesus is. Would you please go on to that next slide? God is salvation. Think of that. Yeshua, Hebrew. God is salvation. salvation. God has salvation for you and the people around you. God is salvation for those that are saved and those that are not saved yet. God is salvation. I read the scripture earlier from Philippians that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. I believe one of Satan's hooks of many is to get people to disrespect the name of Jesus. To get people to take it lightly. To get people to pass it off as if it's just another person. He's one of us. Oh, he's not. He is above and high and to be honored. Cherish that beautiful name. Cherish that wonderful name. Cherish that matchless name. That name is Jesus. The name of Jesus. Would you take home today on New Year's Day a reminder of how precious the name of Jesus is? It was chosen way back in eternity. It wasn't something that God just threw out there, kind of second thought. Oh, the name of Jesus. Mary and Joseph were following an important tradition. The naming of the child. That was very important in Jewish theology and Jewish history. Again, our culture probably, a lot of people don't think about that near as much as the Jews did. The eighth day was very, very important. To the Jews, that name meant a lot. You imagine what the name meant for Mary and Joseph having been spoken to by the angels. Important tradition. Chosen in eternity. The eighth day. How important that eighth day was. We have one verse that describes it. On the eighth day. How precious. We're reminded that God gave to the angel a great blessing. I'm not sure how God blesses angels. Can you imagine being the angel chosen to pronounce the name of Jesus? God is salvation. The angel announced it. Precious, eternal, powerful, meaningful, insightful, deep. The name is Jesus. And then we have, following that one verse, a story of the dedication of Jesus. That too was an important day. Probably 40 days, according to Jewish tradition, after Jesus was born, families that were able to were to bring their firstborn to the temple in Jerusalem and bring an offering of thanksgiving and dedication. So Jewish parents did that almost always if they were able to. And again, Mary and Joseph were following the custom of their people, the traditions. They had in their hearts the desire to do it the way that God had directed His people to do it for many, many years. Verse 22 says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God." You imagine what this day meant to Mary and Joseph? And what this name meant to Simeon? What this day meant to Simeon. In this part of the story, the character that gets my attention, of course, is Simeon. He too is a part of the precious story. God allowed this man to be the first one to proclaim the Messiahship of Jesus. He's not just God's son. He was. He's proclaimed as that. He's not just the Savior of the world. He's the Messiah. He's the Christ. He's the one that brings to the world the truth in all the prophecies that have been foretold about the salvation of God. Simeon is an old man. We get the picture. I get the picture of a very old man. I don't know how old he was. But he was a man who had been waiting a long time. A faithful man. Faithful. Hopeful. He had been looking forward to what God was going to do. One of the things about Simeon I love is simply the idea, it's simply the thought, he's looking forward to what God's going to do. I love that example in 2021. What is God going to do in 2021? What's God going to do in your life? Simeon was looking for what God was going to do. Apparently, he had a long time to wait. But he was looking forward. No matter how long the wait was, he was looking forward. Simeon had been promised something. A precious promise from God. A promise that God was going to allow him to actually see the Messiah before he died. The prophecies about the Messiah had gone back 600, 700, 800 years in Jewish history. Presumably Simeon knew them. He had to have known them. He believed them. He held on to them. He held on to the promises of God. Even in the midst of history of the Jews, at times that was very ugly and painful. This old man Simeon was faithful and hopeful enough that he held on to the promise of God of the Messiah. My guess is he knew all of them from Isaiah and the Psalms and every place in the Old Testament. Somehow, this incredible old man Simeon, he knew in his heart that God was going to send a Savior. And he believed it and he held on to it. I'm not going to die until I see the Messiah. I wonder if he ever doubted it. That's total speculation. But he believed it. The Lord has promised me, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Somehow he knew. I don't know whether God gave him a dream or God sent some prophet that we don't know about to say, Simeon, you're going to see the Messiah. Or somehow, however God confirmed that in the heart of this man, he knew the promise of God and he held on to it deeply. And he held on to it into old age. How long he had it, I don't know. But he had received a promise and it was special. Also of Simeon, we know that he's filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, this man lived close to God and he lived close to the Holy Spirit and he had received that fullness that we read about in the New Testament in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Sometimes we talk about the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit in the New Testament like they're different beings. They're not different. They have different roles in the different administrations, but it's the same Spirit of God. It's the same Spirit of God in the story of Simeon as is promised in the book of Acts of us receiving the Holy Spirit when we come to faith in Him. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Some theologians and some Christians describe it this way. They believe the Scripture that says that when we receive Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit. But they describe it as a fullness. A fullness in the life of the believer that can be missing. Simeon was filled with the Holy Spirit. He also was moved by the Holy Spirit. Verse 27 says he was moved by the Spirit to go into the temple that day. My guess is he was in the temple a lot. My guess is that was a regular occurrence, daily, weekly. But on this day, something stirred his heart to go in ahead of time. And it was the Holy Spirit. We know he's already full of praise. And just more and more praise comes out of him as God moves him through the Holy Spirit into the temple. On this day, his praise and his joy would rise. Go on, please, to the next one. Would rise to spiritual mountaintops, heavenly places, heavenly expressions, whatever you want to call it. He just burst forth with praise on this day. You know, I love that for him. What a gift on this day. Lord God, on this day, you took me to the mountaintop. You see, we don't live on the mountaintop. Not very many people do. There's a few maybe up there. Most of us live somewhere between the lowest valley and the highest mountaintop. God took this man to the mountaintop. God also wants to take us to the mountaintop sometimes. We have to be willing to go. We have to be hearts that are receptive and listening and responsive and obedience. Maybe you would say focused on what Simeon was focused on here. On this day, the 40th day, God took him to the mountaintop. And then Simeon utters a great message from God. You just imagine that moment when Mary and Joseph come, and maybe Simeon, like he did every other time he saw a baby, "Oh, what precious baby," you know, and "Wow, oh, blessings, God gave you a wonder," and then the realization that it was Jesus. Can you imagine what happens inside of Simeon on that day at the realization that he's the one? I can only imagine, you know, how precious it is to hold a newborn baby that's not, you know, crying or other things, you know. I'm just imagining Jesus was radiant on this day. Now, can you imagine this old man Simeon as he reaches out his arms, Mary and Joseph hand the baby to Simeon, and he receives in his arms, and the realization, this is God is salvation. God is salvation. The reminder, the power. He gives a great prayer of thanksgiving. "Sovereign Lord, as you know, as you promised, you may dismiss your servant in peace." He's thankful. The prophecy that he gives begins with thankfulness. Also, the recognition of the Messiah. I think, as far as I can see, the first full expression of Jesus as the Christ. All of Jewish history coming to fulfillment in the arms of Simeon. All of Jewish history coming to us as we read the story. This means world salvation. And he recognizes that. "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations." The Christmas story does not stay in Jerusalem. Somehow God gave to Luke, and in part Matthew, and I'm sure others, this looking back 33 years after the cross and looking at the whole thing, the revelation that God allows over and over again. God has given this in sight of all the nations so that every nation on earth every nation, every language will know, will hear the salvation of God. What a precious day. It means salvation. It means fulfillment. It means that God does what He says He's going to do. It means that God is absolutely faithful and truthful. He doesn't miss. It also means it was a great blessing. It says verse 34, "Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, 'This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed.'" It was a blessing. But it's also a foretelling of deep pain. Not everything in this story is glorious and fun. Up till now it has been to me. But here in the prophecy, Simeon speaks of the pain. I'm speculating that God allowed Simeon to say this for Mary's benefit. Because it does say specifically, Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother. So it makes me think or conclude that God was giving something to Mary in the midst of the glory and the wonder. Maybe so on that day in Golgotha that afternoon, speculating, Mary will remember that this too is a part of the plan. She'll get it later for sure, we know, after the resurrection, from what the book of Acts says about Mary after that and church history. She'll get it. But here, even in the painful thing that is said, we see the mercy of God. We see the beauty of God who says, it's going to have to be this way. This Jesus, God is salvation, this Messiah, this wonderful glory for all nations, is going to give His life for the world. Simeon speaks the truth. His prophecy is from God. And we're told that Mary and Joseph marvel at His words. Wow. The beauty and the wonder of the words of God in prophecy. I'm planning to begin a series about prophecy in 2 weeks. What I wanted to say today is just a little bit of a step toward the role of prophecy, the importance of prophecy. Prophecy as an element of the Bible, books of prophecy, people of prophecy. And so in 2 weeks, Lord willing, I'm planning to start a series about why prophecy is important to us as a church and as a people. What God speaks to me about prophecy, about the past and how God revealed Himself in the past in the Old Testament. What God revealed in prophecy in the life of Jesus. And what God says to us in 2021 about our lives. Prophecy is described by every person who thinks about it in different terms. You know, there are more books written about prophecy than any other book of Christianity. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in 2 weeks. But I want to say today about prophecy. Prophecy is an eternal God who speaks into the creation of human time. And it has a purpose. It has a place. And on this day, Mary and Joseph and the baby heard the word of God and His prophecy.